It's hard to play by the rules when you don't know what they are. Some of you may have heard me tell a story once about playing a card game called Kings at a retreat that I was at in high school. There were about 20 of us there, seated in groups of four at tables throughout the room. None of us had ever played this game before, so we weren't really sure what to expect. Thankfully, we were given a sheet of paper with the rules. We were told to read it and to memorize the rules. Because not too long after, we were also told to return that sheet to our facilitator. And then, as if playing a new game without the rules right in front of us was not hard enough, we were further told that we could no longer talk to each other for the remainder of the game. The first round went well. The rules were simple, and we had memorized them. We knew them. When the round was over, the player who won the table was sent to another table, and then a new player took their place. That's when the fun began. The cards were dealt, we all played our first card, and two of my friends reached their hands into the middle to take the hand. The two of them began arguing with rude hand signals as to whether an ace was high or low, or if a king trumped any other card on the table. Eventually, it was resolved, and we managed to get through that round too. And another player was sent to another table, and another took their place. After four or five rounds, almost none of us were seated with the people that we originally started with, and the game devolved into nothing more than frustration and anger as we silently argued over who was right. Mercifully, the leaders of our retreat stopped us then. They also lifted the ban from talking, and the room erupted into a cacophony of sound. And it was in the arguing that ensued that we discovered that there were four different sets of rules floating around the room, similar enough for us to play together for a while, but with enough difference to frustrate and ultimately bring us down. It's difficult to play by the rules when you don't know what they are. Which is, I think, exactly how the eldest son felt in the last of the three parables this morning. He knew what was expected of him, and he did it. He followed all the rules. When his younger brother asked his father to divest his land and property, he took half the money and ran away. The elder of the two stayed and worked the fields, making sure that his dad's property was cared for. The elder son had been playing hand after hand by the rules he thought had been well established until his younger brother returns home with nothing. Suddenly, as he reaches his hand into the center of the table to take the hand that he thinks is rightfully his, he finds his father's hand there, shoving it toward his brother. It's hard to play by the rules if they suddenly seem to deviate from what they once were. I think we are sometimes more like that eldest brother, maybe more often than we'd like to admit. We live with a sense of what is right and wrong, of how to play the game. We know the rules and assume that if we follow them, we'll be rewarded. Or at the very least, we assume that if one breaks the rules, they'll be punished. So we play the game. We sit down at the table with the hand that we've been dealt, assuming we know how and when to play our cards, assuming we know which card will win which hand and which one we should throw away. Then we find out somewhere in the game the rules that we've been playing by are not the rules that others have been playing by. We've worked really hard completing whatever projects we've been assigned and helping others with theirs at work, only to find out that the slacker was promoted ahead of us. Or we come to worship every Sunday, we pray, we read scripture each day, We tell our friends about our relationship with Jesus. And then we suffer a great loss and wonder why bad things happen to good people. In these moments, it is easy to find ourselves wondering about the rules of the game, when they changed, and why the hand isn't ours since we've diligently followed those rules. This is something that our siblings of color have long known, having played the game by the given rules only to discover a lot of the same opportunities and assumptions often are afforded to them. It's difficult to play by the rules if we don't know what they are. Except when it isn't a game and the rules aren't steps in a plan to win. For us Christian religious types, we've often treated life as a game, allowing the Ten Commandments and other religious doctrine to become those rules. We've believed that if we play by the rules, then Jesus will bless us and we'll go to heaven. But life isn't a game, even if we treat it as such. Instead, it's about being together, about being in relationship with one another. The rules are there for the good of the relationship, but they are certainly not God's ultimate concern. In this last parable, the father wants both his boys there with him to be family together. Even when one son takes the father's life and doesn't bring it back, even when the other son resents his father for allowing him to do it, he just wants them there with him together. And he'll do anything to make it happen. Even break the supposed rules. After his youngest son tells him he's as good as dead by asking for his inheritance early, the father still sits at the end of the road, watching and waiting for his son to come home instead of running the family farm. And then when he finally sees him, he runs to his son, something that no self-respecting man would do at that time. But he does it anyway. He has his servants bring the best robe and kill a fatted calf to celebrate that his son is back home. No man playing by the rules of the world would ever treat his son this way. But he does. He plays by a different set of rules. A set in which love and reconciliation trump everything. And in the process, the eldest son gets in a tizzy, cuts himself off, and refuses to enter the party, refusing to acknowledge this is his father, that he's part of the family too. Even though the father pleads with his eldest son, he loses one son just as he gets another back. I think Jesus tells us these parables because this is who God is. A radical God who plays by a different set of rules, who will give up everything, including dignity, to welcome you home, to make sure that you're a part of the family, to make sure that you know that even when you're upset or you've cut yourself off from God, or when you've taken everything that God has to offer you and now it's gone, God still wants you back. This is the same God who will leave the 99 who are safe at home to go off in search of the one who has wandered off, and will light a lamp and sweep the house to find the one lost coin, and then throw a party when it is found. God wants all to be accounted for. And when that one has been found, when you have been found, either as the child who has left home and come back, or the one who is lost and yet never left home, God says to you, child, you were always with me, and all that is mine is yours. It is this God who celebrates that you come home and cannot keep from inviting the whole household to join. And it is this God who pleads with you to stay and celebrate with her rule-breaking when your rule-breaking brother comes home, simply because he's back and the family is together again. Despite the fact that the child may have declared God to be dead and run away from home. This is what God is doing for us. And this is what, as we head further into Lent, we'll be reminded that God is doing on the cross, showing us that surrender is exactly what love is all about, and that the rules can change. That maybe we're not playing by the same set of rules. And yet God just wants us to love each other the way that God loves us.